Before we start the show, I just want to know, have you gone to TrillMBA.com and gotten your copy of The 3-Step Surefire Method to Ask for Help Without Getting Dinged? Have you got your copy yet? Well, if you haven't, you need to. Let me tell you about Julia. Julia writes, "So my review went very well. I've only been in the role for 6 months, so I definitely need help. I used the information on inquiring about leadership style and expectations. I gained so much insight on my boss and how to slay my role. Until that podcast, I would have never thought to ask for help. I would have just thugged it out. But she was impressed, and I felt motivated and empowered." Listen, you guys. There is no need for you to thug out your role. All you have to do is go to TrillMBA.com and sign up to get the 3-step surefire method to ask for help without getting dinged. So go forth and prosper. Let's start the show. Welcome to the TrillMBA Show. I'm your host, Felicia Ambrose Anuha, aka the trillest MBA you will ever know. And I'm here to help you survive and thrive in corporate America by giving you the truth and being as real as only I can be. Happy Black History Month! Okay, so caveat, this show is not going to come out until Women's History Month. But today, we're recording February 1st, and it is Black History Month. Woohoo! I love it. And I think this is a perfect episode today, because today we are going to talk about, ladies, how being successful means you have to be just a little selfish. And I have a very, very special guest with me today, Arena Sargent. Arena has over 12 plus years of marketing experience spanning the food, tech, and office furniture industries. Driving growth through deep customer understanding and strategic marketing plans. That is Arena's area of expertise. She started her brand management career at Nestle, where she worked to build brands and develop the innovation pipeline for Stouffer's, Lean Cuisine, DiGiorno, and California Pizza Kitchen. She then spent 2 years as the marketing director at a premium beef startup, where she helped grow the brand and gained features in major publications like Forbes, Inc., and Men's Health. She has spent the past year at Intuit as the marketing strategy and execution lead for QuickBooks in the retail channel. In 2015, Arena founded Blend, a young professionals of color nonprofit in Grand Rapids, Michigan. She has an MBA from the Kelly School of Business at Indiana University and a BBA from Grand Valley State University. So y'all already know this is my classmate. Give it up for Arena Sargent. Yeah.
Thank you, Fee.
Listen, I'm so excited to have you on the show today. Oh, but also, I almost forgot to tell the listeners. So not only does she have all that badassery, but then she's also a small business consultant, a wellness warrior, an overall gold digger, and she is working to normalize all forms of wellness and tries to remind people that everyone deserves to be just a little selfish. And that is what we're here to talk about today. Because it's so important, like, as a woman, and we talk about this all the time, there's so many demands on us. So what I didn't know about you, Arena, is that you had this passion around self-care. So
yeah, you weren't the only one that didn't know it.
So where did this come from? How did this happen? Like, give me the tea.
The tea. So let me tell you a little bit about who the heck I am and my journey to this. So I'm originally from Detroit, so definitely from the Midwest, where hard work is what it's all about.
Amen.
I'm the baby of the family, so three girls. The biggest thing that I saw as I was growing up was hard work. And so I had a dad who was at work all the time, same with my mom. My sisters and I, as soon as we were working age, we got jobs. I saw my parents with the side hustle. So my parents used to do craft shows and make crafts as a childhood. So many of my Saturday and Sundays were spent in different Catholic schools running through the halls and selling our the little lace angels and other woodwork materials. So it was definitely something that I grew up seeing.
Right.
And I fully embodied that. So from the age of 16, I had 2-3 jobs at a time.
Dang.
During college, I was doing the most, which my friends call me Jamaican, even though I'm not. I was carrying 18 credit loads with 2-3 jobs. And it was fun to me. After graduating undergrad, I tried for like, I think 8 months to just do the one job thing. And I had my full-time job, but then I realized I really like money. So
right.
I had a full-time job. I started to pick back up serving. And so I would go and serve at Red Lobster for 4 days a week. I founded a nonprofit. I served on a board and still somehow had fun to turn up. But work was what I was raised to do. And I did it to the utmost. And somehow it turned into what my life was about. What I've realized, especially in the past couple years, is like one of my biggest values that I embody is hard work. But as I looked around and as I started to just grow up and experience life, I recognized what I didn't necessarily learn is how to take care of myself,
mm-hmm.
and that it was okay to focus on me and make sure that I'm performing at the highest level. I've always really cared about some of the self-care in the space of like massages and mani-pedis. Like as soon as I discovered what that was a regular. Like if I got bored, I'd be like, I'm going to go get a massage. That was my indulgence. But it's really over the past 18 months, I'd say, that I've started to look at the different methods of self-care. I've started to explore, and I really want people to understand, like, taking care of yourself is not selfish. Like, or even if you want to consider it, that's fine. Be selfish sometimes, because if you don't take care of yourself, who is? So that's a little snapshot of who I am and how I got to be just a little selfish.
So now, which I'm happy, but let's talk about how you came up with just a little selfish. So I remember I was scrolling through the gram and I saw this handle and like I saw your face and I was like, just a little selfish. And I'm like, one thing I know about you, you are definitely a giver. So I was like, okay, girl, what's happening? Like, Jordan pissed you off? Like,
oh my goodness.
Do I need to come to San Francisco and beat him in his head? Like, what?
Girl, so many people were like, are you okay?
Right.
Like, yes. That's part of what I'm trying to change. Like, I do want people to check on their friends, and I appreciate it. Like, that made me feel loved, and I love that people are checking in, shooting a text like, hey, I saw your post. Everything going okay? Yeah, things are going okay, but it is okay to not be okay, and it's okay to have to process. And for me, I would say Just Little Selfish is somewhat therapeutic for me.
Mm-hmm.
As a child, I used to write poetry, and then I stopped for a long period. And so I've actually found this as a new outlet for me. But how did I even come up with this? So over the past 18 months, life has just been life. Mm-hmm. I've had some low points, had some challenges at work, and I had a different level of self-doubt that it started to creep in.
Mm-hmm.
And I started to question everything about myself and no longer trusted myself
mm-hmm.
and my abilities. No matter what people around me said, whether they were the closest people to me or just people who saw me from afar and had good words, for some reason I was being challenged. Well, not for some reason. I know the reason.
Right.
I was being challenged to internalize what that really was and to fully appreciate my ability.
Mm-hmm.
And so that combined with that had led to a number of changes over the past couple of months. This time last year, we were moving from Chicago to San Francisco, and now I am sitting in my home in Kansas City. So a little bit of change in the past 18 months, which caused me to take a step back. But ultimately, what was happening is I recognized I was not in a good place because of the values and how I was raised. Work became my identity, and I had always been okay with it. But I hit a point where work could no longer be my identity because I didn't like what work was.
Right.
And I ended up feeling like I was floundering and wondering, like, what am I trying to do with my life? Like, why am I here? What am I supposed to do? And so it's funny that I came up with this wonderful idea to write our goals out every New Year's. And so people do resolutions, but I choose goals because it's more practical.
Right.
And then when you think about it, you make objectives every year work. So why don't you do this in your life? Like, if you are trying to get somewhere, how can you get there if you don't know where you're trying to go? Like,
you better bring your strategy into your personal life.
I'm trying. I'm like, these tuition dollars didn't go for nothing.
Amen.
And so every New Year's, we make goals. And of course, because I'm doing the most, I layered on top of our yearly goals with what's our ultimate career goal. And so I came up with this years ago. And the funny thing is, for 8 years, mine has been blank. I have not been able to articulate my vision for my career and my life. And so I would say part of it is because I've been blessed my life. I've been blessed with intelligence. I've been able to go to good schools. I've been able to secure good jobs. I've been able to move up the corporate ladder, but it's really like I'm just following a path that's there, and it's a good path. So it never really caused me to question what I'm trying to do because I was always evolving, always moving forward, always moving up. But I hit a point where it was, am I moving in a direction where I actually want to go? Or am I just moving along the path of what everyone has told me to do? The challenges that arose about 18 months ago caused me to take a step back and really question and really choose to be an architect of my own life. And so it really started with me starting to lay out things. And I, once again, started just writing. Some people call it journaling. For me, I didn't go as far as journaling. I just started to write my thoughts. And I took inventory. And very much like work, I started to lay out, like, what do I like? What do I hate? What are my dreams? What are the biggest dreams I could have? What's important? What's not important? What do I value? And so I started to lay this stuff out. And what became very clear was somehow I kept selecting jobs that had roles and responsibilities in the I don't like bucket and less in the I like bucket. And so it just by laying that out, I had like a light bulb go off. And I was like, well, why do I keep making these choices? And it's because they were good jobs. Good paying jobs allowed me to grow and experience different things, but they weren't really where my passion has lied. And so then I had to take it to the step and figure out, like, what is my passion? And so a lot of tough conversations. I'm very blessed to have a husband that is there and supportive and wants to talk and wants to work through this thing. And then he also has known his goal. And the reason we just moved to Kansas City is because he got an opportunity to pursue that. And so that actually inspired me to get even more focused on what the heck am I trying to do so that I can get there. And so all of this to say, just a little selfish, is the articulation of my passion. I feel as though people often make it seem like it's easy to figure out what you want to do with your life. People are like, well, what's your passion? Just do that. And you're like, oh, for real? Like, okay.
Right. My passion is watching reality TV.
Right.
Now
right.
What?
You're like, what am I supposed to do? You're like, okay, I'll make a different career path. And so we were having a conversation about this, and I have recognized that I always have jokingly said, oh, I'd be a massage critic or I'd be a spa critic. That was my ultimate dream job. And so I started to riff on that space, and I realized that it was really the space of overall wellness. And that combined with some of the personal things that I was working through helped me understand, like, that is a passion of mine. Wellness is a passion of mine. Helping people care about themselves is a passion of mine. And so with Just a Little Selfish as a handle, where I'm really focused on sharing my journey in this space and hoping that people better understand themselves. What it all sums up is, for me as a person, I've realized my mantra is really about work hard, self-care harder. That is what I'm all about, and that is what I'm trying to help people explore and to embody.
That is definitely a hashtag. Like,
I'm working on it.
Work hard, self-care harder.
Yeah,
I love that. Oh my God. Like, you said so many nuggets. So I want to unpack a little bit what you said. What I appreciate about what you just said is that so many of us are in that same space of, oh, what the fuck am I doing here?
Like, and everybody's so smart.
Like, yes. And we're just force fed, you know, go to school, get a good job, go to grad school, make this money. And and nobody ever stops to ask you when you're younger, what do you want to be when you grow up?
Because or they do, but you don't know at that age. People forget to ask you again as an adult.
Well, true. Or what happens is you learn that the appropriate response is be a lawyer, be a doctor, because you get this positive feedback. Like, when I would tell people when I was 9, I want to be the first Black woman president of the United States. And mind you, I'm 9. I don't know shit. And there'd never been a Black president. And so you know, everybody would be like, oh, that's so good, baby. Oh, that baby's smart. And so then you got this outside validation, mm-hmm. even though if you asked me now, you still want to be president of the United States? I'd be like, hell to the MF and no. Like,
hard pass.
So, you know, and nobody ever asked me, like, what excites you? Mm-hmm. What brings you joy? What is the thing that you do easily? There's also this notion that if it's not difficult, then it's not worth it. And it's like, no, when things are in flow, and shout out to Oprah, because that's where I got this from. When things are in flow, it just comes. Not yeah. saying that everything is super easy or that you don't have to work, but there's a flow to it. There's an energy that feeds into you as you put out energy. It cycles mm-hmm. back to you. It doesn't suck the life out of you.
This is so true. I'm yeah, you're preaching to the choir there. It's funny because I've had times where I'm challenged to like do work. Mm-hmm. The work that pays my bills every day. And mm-hmm. it's good work just for someone else. But then I can go from that where I'm drained and have no passion and just want to just walk away from the computer. And then I'll pivot and start working on some of my side projects. And I'm up for like 6 hours. And this happened the other week where all of a sudden I was drained, didn't want to do anything. I started working on some just a little selfish stuff. And next thing I looked up and it was 1 a.m. I was like, what yep. is happening?
Because it gives you energy.
It does.
It gives you energy. And so that's what we need to give each other, that courage to say, okay, yeah, you went to school. You got these fancy ass degrees from these fancy ass schools. You run in these circles. You make these 6+ figures and these bonuses. And you live in these expensive ass cities. And you doing the damn thing. Okay, great. That was somebody else's definition of success, or that's mm-hmm. society's definition of success. What is your own definition of success? Mm-hmm. And so instead of making the go to school, get a good job normal, we need to start, especially in the vein of self-care, saying, what is it that you want and you need to bring your best self to the world and have an impact in the world? And you can't do that unless you take care of yourself. And that's what I love about what you're doing. And my whole mission with this podcast is to talk to specifically Black women, mm-hmm. but broadly, hell, anybody that listens to the damn podcast. But, you know, I want to talk to us because I feel like there's this weight on us to be the model Black woman citizen in these corporate spaces, and hell, even at home. Now, I'm not married, but do you feel pressure in your marriage to be some certain type of wife or partner? Like, how does your drive for this self-care and the normalcy of your own self-care, mm-hmm. how does that drive how you operate within your relationship with Joe?
Great question. And just one pivot. I am super pro school and get a good job. It's just don't lose yourself in it and make Amen. Sure you're going for what you want rather than what other people have told you to do.
Amen.
But get
Amen.
Them degrees. Cause,
yes.
Yeah.
Like, yes, I agree. Educate yourself.
Yes.
Please.
Yes.
Educate yourself.
Yes. So I appreciate my marriage. I would say I am definitely lucky to have a husband that has the same level of goals that I have, but also mm-hmm. understands that we both have goals and that we have to take time balancing those. We've had some good examples and some mentors as we started this marriage. We're like 10 years in relationship-wise, 5 years in a marriage. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that we've done is talk to older couples, and especially like professional couples, to understand how they yeah. do it. And some of the biggest point of advice I've gotten from multiple people is, when you have two career-driven, passionate people, there will be trade-offs. And the most important thing is you have a conversation about who is leading at what point. And so we've moved around a lot. We've done distance. We've lived together. We've moved apart again. We've moved right. across the country and back. And every single time, and what's the most important thing for us is that we have deep conversations about it. Some things are easier than others. This last move was a challenge, I'll tell you.
Yeah.
It was a...
Seeing that you just had moved to San Francisco.
Yes, yes. That, yeah. 8 months in, did not expect to have conversations about moving again to a much, much smaller city. Right. Especially when I got a different energy from the city of San Francisco than I needed and that I had had in a while. So
right.
For us in our relationship, the biggest thing is be honest, be truthful, and let's talk about it. Things aren't going to be perfect. Like, it's always funny to me when I read other things about marriages and the issues people go through and how hard it is. And it's like, I mean, marriage is a relationship. You're dealing with two different people, two different personalities, two different sets of goals. And so while it will be difficult, it doesn't have to be that hard. You'll have hard parts and there will be issues because it's two people, but everything doesn't have to be hard. And how can you approach it differently to make even the hard situations a little bit easier? And so for us, like, we have a lot of conversations about expectations, and if someone's missing expectations or if something's off or if there's miscommunication, that has been the big key for us. And we went to premarital counseling, which mm-hmm. definitely helped us as we were starting on the path to marriage, and just getting some of those expectations out and understanding trigger points for each other, that has helped us avoid like big blow ups and really being open to saying, I'm sorry, or I was wrong. I had to do that this morning. And be like, I mean, I had a different perspective on things. And so just those things have helped us, and we've seen it help other couples, and like the openness to talking about it with someone else. Like, we have a core group of other married couple friends, and we have passed around marriage counselors left and right. Like, that sounds like a real issue that y'all should probably not be working on just by yourselves. And right. So having that support group really has helped us. It just makes me so excited that having conversations about couple therapy is normal, at least in our circles. And I want it to become even broader. Like, people go to school to help you talk to your problem. So why are we not taking advantage of this, you know?
Amen. And again, I think it goes back to the theme of self-care.
Mm-hmm. Like,
so because yourself and this other person's self
yes.
is coming together to make a whole nother self, right. Like,
yeah,
you got to take care of that entity too. And so, you know, I love that you bring that perspective into your relationship. And one thing I love about you and Joe, so Joe was also our classmate. That's how I know Joe. And so you got two badasses joining forces, definitely the quintessential, you know, Black power couple, right? Michelle and Barack in this shit. No pressure. But what I love about even Michelle's book,
yes.
Becoming, you know, she talks about these same things. Like, this is normal, you guys. Like, this is not, you know, I think the gram and social media in general, like, you get all these images and these pictures, these snapshots in time. Mm-hmm. And it was funny. I actually witnessed a couple arguing.
Huh.
And then 2 minutes later, turn around, take a selfie and post it. I was like,
I hope they resolved their issue before they did that.
No, because they went back to trying to work out whatever little disagreement or tiff they were having. And it wasn't like a serious argument. You know, it's just like, well, I don't agree with that. Well, no,
yeah.
I think we should do it this way. Blah, 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 blah. And then it was like, you know, the girl was like, ooh, the sunlight. Hold on.
Like, yeah. Yeah.
So, again, like you said, two different people coming together. And so for the women out there who are in relationships and are career driven, mm-hmm. I want them to know you can have it all. You just can't have it all at the same time.
Yes.
You have to make some trade-offs.
That is very,
and that's okay.
Very true. Yeah.
That's okay.
Yeah.
And so what I don't want women to trade off on is not taking care of themselves and putting their self-care second.
Mm-hmm.
To everything else. Because the end of the day, you can't expect somebody else to take care of you. You
right.
have to take care of you. Nobody's going to take care of you better than you can take care of yourself. And I got that from you.
Aw, thank you. Yeah, that's so real. Like, how can you expect for a relationship with another person to work out if you don't have a good relationship with yourself? That's something I've battled with throughout the relationship. I mean, I'm a Black woman in the U.S. I deal with issues of self-esteem constantly and self-doubt.
Amen.
And that creeps into my relationship. And I have a husband who is full of confidence. And so it's always the question of, well, why do you doubt yourself? Because how I'm doubting myself is reflected in how I am managing things in our relationship. So for us, it's extremely important for us to take care of ourselves as individuals, because you can't pour from an empty cup.
No.
So we'll do different things, whether it be together or apart. So one of the other things that has helped us is that we've maintained our identity. So we'll be on a Saturday morning. I know he's about to go play basketball. Well, I'll go get a massage or go to yoga or Pilates. Or I'll know that I need to work on some things in order for us to overcome some things in our relationship. So I'll go to my own therapist. I'll have other ways that I'm focusing on me. And he does the same. So we make sure that we have different outlets so that we can continue to develop and grow as individuals so that we can be better as a couple. Things won't be perfect. I mean, things aren't going to be perfect, but I'm quite happy where I am and that this is working for us.
Yeah, no, and I can tell. And I think we need to get out of this idea of a perfect relationship or, oh my God, they're so perfect together. Like, we need to get out of this idea of perfection.
Yes.
Because you yourself, by yourself, you are not perfect.
Freak.
And then you're going to get with somebody who them, themselves, they are not perfect.
Mm-hmm.
And so y'all two imperfect asses going to come together. And what makes you think that that's going to equal perfect?
It won't. It won't.
No, it doesn't. But that's okay.
Yeah.
Please let that be okay.
It is. You figure out how to raise each other up. Where somebody may be weak, you could be strong. It is true partnership more than anything else. No one can take the place of you. They can't fill you up, but they can definitely hold you up if you're starting to feel weak. So, yeah, self-care is very important for us because, as I was saying, like, if you are not strong as an individual, it makes what you can bring to a relationship a little bit more of a challenge.
Thank you for that word. So now, now that we talked about self-care, like, in the home, in your personal relationships, I want to shift, and earlier you mentioned as you've started to explore this passion of self-care, and I know you, you're a true marketer, you're doing all kinds of research. What have you learned so far about how self-care translates and being just a little selfish translates into the workplace? What tips, tactics, or any ideas or thoughts that you have on how do you bring this idea into work? Because a lot of times, you know, especially as Black women, we feel a lot of pressure to over deliver and to do, you know, work 10 times as hard to get half as far and, you know, be the model Black person in the office, because a lot of times we're the only one, or just that trying to be perfect when we are imperfect. With all of our Black girl magic, we are still human. Please share with my listeners, just do the download. What have you learned so far?
Great question. I love this space because I think that often self-care and work are viewed as separate things that can never merge.
Mm-hmm.
Or how do you balance it in the workplace? Because you're always grinding. And so it really took for me being in a bad place that made me transition and focus on my self-care in the workplace. I remember clearly what it was. There was one night where I was working at our island after 2 months straight of going to work at like 7:30, working until 6:30 without a lunch break or anything, like hardly eating, go home, open up my laptop again and work until midnight. I did that for 2 months straight. So I'm working at my island and I'm working and I just start crying. That's a sign something's wrong.
Amen.
Yeah. And so I had to work through that over months and still working through it. But as I look back and reflect on where things went wrong or what I could have done differently or what pieces of this I could have controlled, it's I didn't put myself first. So what are some of the things that I try to do now after learning from it? It's one, learning how to say no. And it sounds simple, but recognizing that you have too much on your plate and having the humility to ask for help within it is actually more professionally responsible. If you are burning yourself out, what you are giving to your organization and to yourself is not going to be up to the standard that you want in your life. So asking for help, realizing your limits, saying no within reason, to taking on new stuff, like that is big and can make a huge difference. And then the other big thing that I've noticed is even just paying attention to how you feel and assessing how you move forward from it. So if you are constantly drained and constantly upset, why? What is putting you in this situation? Is it a misalignment of expectations and you keep missing it? Is it this isn't the role for you in the first place and you're going to continually be miserable until you change something? Right. That those two things, like learning how to say no and asking for help and then paying attention to how you're feeling, those are some of the big things that I've started to really focus on. And I've recognized where my gaps are and I'm working on making those changes. So I think those are big, what feel like small ways to bring self-care into the workplace, but are extremely impactful.
You better say this word. I cannot wait. Cannot wait for all the greatnesses coming from all of your passion projects. I'm so excited about it because what you say is so key. And as Black women, well, let's not just talk. We anybody. Are Black women, but as anybody, especially in the workplace, have you just ever felt like the biggest failure because you had to ask for help?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think with anyone, but especially Black women, like when you look at how we're portrayed in the media and what we're fed as all the time as we grow up is we are workhorses. We get it done. Black women can power through anything. Like they are the troopers. And so if I'm asking for help, am I not a strong Black woman? And my view is you're a stronger Black woman because you ask for help. Because you are not trying to overextend yourself and be like your grandma or your great-grandma or even your mom who hates their lives and don't know how they ended up where they are. Like,
right.
Be different. Just because it's what we were raised to believe is how we are doesn't mean we can't make edits to make our lives a little bit happier. Because that, like, I am very proud that I'm all about work. I'm very proud. I'm a workhorse. I get stuff done. Like, well, I get shit done. And I'm always like, what's next? What's the next goal that I can achieve? But what I am not trying to do is look back at my life and be mad that I didn't get to enjoy it. Or once we decide to have kids, I'm not trying to just have all this animosity against them and have them look at me like, why is my mom unhappy with her life? Like, she's accomplished all this, but yet still unfulfilled. And so I feel as though, especially as I talk to friends and I look at my family, that was what Black women did. We just grinded. And then, but then you talk to your family, you're like, yeah, you learn, oh, well, Auntie so-and-so, she's never been happy. Or your grandmother, yeah, her and your grandfather were always married, but they always slept in separate rooms. Like, that is so common in our culture that people were not happy. And it's because they never focused on being happy or trying to figure out how to get a little bit of happiness into their life. And I always say this, things will not be perfect, but you can always make them better.
Right. And if you don't get anything from this episode, get that it's okay to be a little bit selfish. Get that it's okay to selfishly seek your own happiness and put yourself first. Please get that message today. Because in order for you to truly be successful in corporate America, you got to put your oxygen mask on first.
I love that. Yes. I'm using that, by the way, Fee.
Yeah, use it. I stole it from somebody. It's not mine. I steal everything. I just reflect it back in my own unique voice.
I love that. That is so real. Like, put your oxygen mask on first. And that doesn't mean you're not helping the person next to you. That doesn't mean that you can't give and volunteer. And it definitely doesn't mean that you shouldn't do that stuff.
Right.
Actually, I find that giving is a form of self-care for me. Like, I just love to talk to people and help and volunteer in any way. It's like, oh, well, you need some help here? Well, I actually worked on this type of stuff, so here you go. Let's talk. There might be some nuggets that you can learn and grow from. And so that is the one thing and why I was very clear on putting just a little selfish, because I am not proposing people just be selfish. Like, that's not okay.
Yeah.
Especially in this world, that's not okay.
Right. Especially when, I was going to say, especially when we have leaders in office that are clearly selfish.
You're going to make me call a therapist today. But no. So, no, but it's just like, how can you make sure that you are on your to-do list. Like everybody else is. Why are you not on it? So just making sure to carve out a little bit of time for yourself will do you and the world around you some benefit. I will tell you that because I think we have all encountered those people that have never put themselves first and are just angry every day. And everybody every day. Is the problem except for themselves. And you're like, why are you just unhappy? Like, constant. Right. Like, there's trauma in the world. There is. Right. And there is stuff that people have gone through that, yeah, you should not be happy about it. Things will not be perfect. But you can't fester in that. Like, you can't live in that. You have to grow from that. And there will things that will take time, but can you try? Like, can you just try for yourself, you know?
Right. And that's so key. The thing that I want to understand, because, you know, you just mentioned about how you want to help people and you volunteer and you love to help people. So is that what prompted you to start your business coaching services and your small business consultancy?
That combined with I recognize my points of unhappiness. Mm-hmm. And so I recognize there are certain parts of my expertise and abilities that I prefer to do more than others. And if I am not finding roles that allow me to do that part, then I'll make my own. And so it is the combination of being able to work on things that I enjoy working and working on them for people that deserve it and that I can help. I love small business owners. They inspire me every day. I actually started consulting last year and worked with a couple small business owners. And just by working with them, I got a new vision for my path and like the excitement for the things they're able to accomplish and like understanding that the things that they are building, they built it. And so there's a different level of fulfillment that gives me, which is why I've started to do more small business consulting. So it's part professional and part personal, just really merging those worlds together. And then it also is a step in a new direction for me that will allow me to really start focusing on my big master vision that I have as I try to bring more normalcy to wellness and especially for working professionals. And so doing the business consulting is one of the first steps of doing that for me.
That is awesome. So let me ask you this. As you focus on wellness and being just a little selfish, how do you incorporate those ideas into coaching business owners? Like, what advice do you give business owners? Because when you're a business owner, you have to do everything.
I'm like, you're preaching to the choir right now. So for me, I would say this is something I'm still working through. But it really comes back to the work hard, self-care harder. Part of that balance is bringing focus into your work. So being very clear on what you need to achieve and not being distracted by the extra shiny nuggets. So that focus alone, to me, is a form of self-care because you're using your time more wisely. And if you use your time more wisely to overcome your business objectives, then that can free up more time to have more of your personal life. So one of the past business owners that I work with, we worked through a plan, became very focused on our objectives and how she should be approaching them and the next step. And then one of the outcomes of that is she was able to spend more time with her daughter because she wasn't trying to achieve the whole world at that one time. She knew very clear what she needed to focus on and the steps to take. And so she wasn't using all of her free time to spin and to think of the what ifs or what about that or what about that. That's not on my plan right now. That's in the parking lot. I'll come back to that. So that's one piece. Also, like being very clear on what is the type of self-care that you want to focus on. Sometimes just writing it, thinking about it and writing it down allows you to put the focus on it. Because you probably wouldn't be surprised, but people don't think about this. They're not, what is my self-care that I want to do more of? And so they never do it. So for me, if you say journaling or doing something of that nature is your form of self-care, then you put that into the plan. So yes, you'll start your day and these are your objectives from a work standpoint. Well, where in there are you going to fit in journaling? Making it top of mind as also part of your business goals helps to make self-care just a normal part of life.
Wow. Okay, so I'm like, all the words.
So I just know that somebody's going to listen to this and they're going to see themselves reflected in you and they're going to shift their perspective. And they're going to start making those changes in their lives to find joy and happiness and peace and be just a little selfish.
Just be a little selfish. I hope so. That's really my goal is, like, as I was saying, live out loud so someone else can learn more about themselves. I actually went through a similar practice with my friend recently because she called me and was like, there's this job opportunity and it sounds good, but I need some additional thoughts. And so all I did was ask them very poignant questions of, how does this job help you with your goal that you're trying to achieve? What are the new skills that you're trying to learn that will get you to your goal? And is this job going to get you there? And it became very clear, this job isn't for that. And right. It was, she was almost distracted by the paycheck, which was nice. Mm-hmm. But if you're going to get there and then 3 months in, you're like, why am I here? That is a waste of your time and that organization's time. And so if you really just take a step back and assess what you are trying to do with your life, you can make some wiser decisions to get there. Or at least you'll have awareness if you're making some concessions along the way. I wish I had done this a long time ago. And it wasn't until doing it in the past 18 months that it started to make me more focused on what's in and what's out. What am I willing to do? What am I not willing to do? What are the experiences I want to have? What are the ones that I don't? And so without that, you just take life as it comes, which can be fun. It can be fun. But you also might be looking back 15 years from now, like, how did I get here?
Girl, listen, everything you're saying, I wish I could put up that GIF with the lady dancing in church. And she just hallelujah, like, and it's showing her from the backside and she has ample booty, which I don't have booty.
I don't have that.
I have boobies. I don't have booty. And so that's how I feel with what you just said, because literally the same thing happened to me. I turned 40 in 2018. And I woke up that day and all my friends were here and everybody had flown in from all over and we doing this party. And I just woke up like, what the fuck are you doing with your life?
I think we've all been there.
Like, you're halfway through this thing now.
Yep.
You know, statistically, God willing, like, what are you really doing? And at the time, I was selling salty snacks that give Black people hypertension. So I was like, what is happening? Like, what has happened to you? Yeah. And I realized I was so busy trying to make myself palatable to the world that I wasn't living in the gifts and the full glory of what God created me to be for his purpose on this earth. And so since then, I have been on a very difficult journey, because it's a shift in thinking. It's a shift in your soul. It's like, is this right? And the self-doubt is so real. But I'm telling you, Arena and I are here today to tell you it's okay. Go down that path. Explore it.
Yes.
You know, throw a little bit of caution to the wind, because you just have to put yourself first in that space. You have to let go of what everybody expects of you to figure out what you expect of you and why you're here. It's soul shaking, yes, but on the other side of it, when you start seeing, like, oh, this shit might actually work. Wait a minute.
Yeah. No, those are very wise words. The one thing I won't say, I am a cautious jumper. I know myself, and it can be uncomfortable. Like, I think one of the biggest things that holds people back is they're pretty good by, like, the world standard. I would say you and I were probably in that same boat. Like, I mean, we have advanced degrees. We have good paying jobs. You're advancing in your career, highly, like, a great reputation. So that actually, to me, is one of the most challenging things, is walking away or doing something different than that. Because from the outside, nothing's wrong. Like, you're doing what you're supposed to do. Like, all right. Right. But you still feel unsettled. And, like, how can I do this for the next 30, 40 years of my life? Which,
right.
Applause to our ancestors who did worse for however long to pay the bills. And it has granted us the ability to not have to do that anymore. And so yes. I don't know if enough of us are taking advantage of this opportunity that is granted to us. And I would right. say I recognize through this process, like, one of my values is security. It is. I am from a blue-collar family in the middle of the Midwest where you work hard, you get paid, you pay your bills. And I have been able to advance to a level that is beyond what my parents were able to achieve and even beyond what I thought I was going to get to.
Right.
Right. And be like, I hit my financial goal, like salary goal, 3 years early and was like, so now what?
Like, right.
So what am I supposed to be doing? But it's, for me, this, I'm still on this journey and I'm trying to pivot, but I am cautiously pivoting and making a plan because I like to pay my bills. So
right.
it's okay if you're not one of those people who could just walk into work and be like, I quit and then figure it out. Like, no, right. we got bills to pay. So what
and
is
I'm
your
not
plan?
Saying anybody, yeah. What is your plan? I'm not, yeah. I'm not saying go quit your job. Like,
right.
Be clear. We're not saying that. Because I'm not going to pay any bill you send to me at ask@trillmba.com talking about you told me to quit my job and I did it. Now I can't pay my rent. Like, I ain't tell you to quit your job.
Devil is a lie. I ain't tell you that.
Right. But one thing I want you to realize, you're on the right path when you come to that moment of I should be happy, but I'm not. I have all this good six-figure job. I have this house. Like, that's the thing. I woke up in my very comfortable king-size bed.
Oh, fancy.
In my fancy master bedroom. And I bought a house 2 years ago, and I have three bathrooms. Now, I don't need three bathrooms. It's just me. What the hell I need three bathrooms for? But I could afford it, and so, and God blessed me with it, so I got three bathrooms. Nice. And so, but I woke up, and I was like, I should be happy, but I'm not. I'm so miserable. I'm so unhappy, and that is the worst feeling when the world tells you, you should be happy. Look at all of the things you have and you've done, and your life is great. Like, keep going in that direction, and you're like, I want to die. Like, I'm dying inside.
Right.
Like,
and there's definitely a scale of unhappiness. Like,
yeah,
it can be as little as something's just nagging you constantly, to the more severe cases where, you know, please get help right away, where you truly questioning why you're here and if you should be. There is definitely a scale, and there are people that can help you through all this stuff. But even if it's the nagging, I mean, it may just be a simple change that you need in life, but it's recognizing there's something there and then figuring out what you can do. And you don't have to have a lot of money. You don't have to, like, spend a ton of time. One of the things I started really liking is I started meditating. And I use apps like Headspace. And it's funny because I don't know if your mom was like this, but my mama was definitely like, anything meditation and yoga ain't nothing but the devil. And we're like, okay, so that's not me. I just want to listen to my thoughts. So whether you're open to meditation or yoga or just prayer or journaling, like taking a couple seconds to assess, like 5 minutes a day, can really just start to help you, help you figure out the direction you want to go or what changes you can make, you know?
Yeah. And don't be afraid to sit with yourself in silence.
Girl, that is a new one for me.
It's hard.
Yeah. I was actually listening to your other episode with Alana, I believe. Which I like her name. It sounds very similar. Elena. But she was talking about sitting in silence, and I was very much like her. Like, as soon as I walked in the house, I used to turn on the TV. I go to sleep with some noise. I cannot sit in silence. And I can tell you, as I started to sit in silence, it has helped me get more focus and clarity of my thoughts and actually hear my thoughts instead of trying to drown them out. So I echo that. Just a couple minutes of silence. Don't turn on that TV if you don't really have anything to watch. And you'd be surprised where you can get yourself just with your own thoughts.
Amen. And for me, my silent time is first thing in the morning.
Mm.
Especially when I'm in that warm spot, you know, that warm spot in the bed, and you wake up and you're like, oh, this feels so good. Why do I have to get up? But I take some time to enjoy that and then say my prayers, and then I just sit there and I listen.
Mm,
I listen to the little noises. I just listen. I tell them I really work to still my mind, to listen and to let my heart speak.
Love it.
And my spirit connect. And those are the times where, you know, God, you know, assures me now that you're on the right path. Keep going. This is what I want you to do.
Mm-hmm.
And I know for a lot of people, and Elena had talked about in that episode, I didn't hear anything back. I didn't hear anything for a long time either. I spent all last year trying to figure out and fix myself. And all it was is, at the end of the day, sometimes God is just asking you to go on a faith walk with him. Sometimes God is just like, trust me. Like, yes, I know I gave you all these abilities and you feel like you got to figure everything out and you got to have it all together and you got to make sure. But sometimes you have to be still and sometimes you just got to trust.
Mm-hmm.
And for Black women, I believe, because that's not how we really operate. Like, we go to church, we praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for my ability to make all this shit happen. That is like, we never say, thank you, Lord, for taking this out of my hands, because we always feel the responsibility and the weight of the world. And so now I'm realizing, like, no, God is like, hey, you gonna let me carry this load for you? You gonna finally trust me with it?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, I surrender.
I like it. One thing, I know I have some friends who have taken advantage of this. Actually, there's one friend who has inspired me, even though I'm still torn if I'm going to do this, to create these points where you can really sit back and focus on you. There are benefits you already have, especially if you work in an organization that you may not be taking advantage of. And so I've had a couple friends, especially one who just needed to assess her life. And she did the smartest thing I've ever heard of. She went to the doctor, which she was going through some stuff, talked to her doctor, and her doctor was like, yeah, you could take short-term medical leave. And you know what? The job covered her salary for up to 3 months, full pay. She only took a month because that's all she needed to like assess and figure out things. But truly, your mental health is just as important, if not more important, than your physical health. And you have benefits that cover this stuff. But we are not like trained to take advantage of it.
No.
I would say I'm battling with the concept of it right now. I have it. I pay for it. But for some reason, I feel like I owe something to my organization. Like, I can't take this time for myself. But then I wonder why I can't power through the work that's on my plate like I know I can when I'm at 100%. But it's because my mind isn't there. So the benefit that you pay for is available. So heads up for anyone who is currently struggling but needs to pay the bills. Just look into
that's
that.
That's a good nugget. Yeah, I actually have a show planned in the second quarter to dive into the logistics of short-term disability leave, because your mental health is everything.
Yeah,
it really, really is. As somebody who struggles with mental health issues, struggles with major depressive disorder, struggles with suicidal ideation, struggles with just all these things that culminate into this ball of anxiety of why the hell am I here?
Mm-hmm.
I definitely am a proponent of two things. One, using all your resources. So that means the resources at work. That means the resources of your village. That means the resources of your family.
Mm-hmm.
Like, use all of your resources, and there's no shame in it. I used to be ashamed. Like, I would never have told the whole world that I struggle with mental health issues. And I used to be ashamed of it because, you know, Jesus will fix everything. You just don't have enough faith.
Yeah.
Where your faith at? Have you been to church?
what the Lord done for you. Look at what all God done for you. You are ungrateful, you know.
Mm-hmm. And can I add 2 points on that? Oh, sorry, go ahead.
Yes. No, the truth is that that's false.
Yes. You are preaching. You are preaching. And I'm like, you seriously, I hope you can't really hear, but you have me pacing right now. So this is a very real thing. And I want to offer a slightly different perspective on that, because you are very candid and very open, which is amazing, because many people need to know they're not alone in this space. If they are struggling with issues of suicide, like, that's nothing to joke about. And if you don't tell people, no one can help you. The other aspect of it that I had to be truthful with is, because I've not been in that space, I've always thought I didn't deserve the help that was available. So unless it has felt like, unless I'm at the point where I'm having suicidal thoughts or I am extremely depressed or that stuff, then who am I to say I need help? Like, I'm fine.
No.
Like, I'm okay.
No.
I'm okay.
But don't let it get there.
No, but
don't let
it
get there.
I'm agreeing. Like, that I have had that recognition over the past, like, couple of years, where it's like, but why do I have to get to that extreme in order to seek help? Like, why can't I just do it from a maintenance standpoint? And it was funny, when we went to marriage counseling years ago, we were going for a small thing. And our counselor was like, I wish more people did this, because what you guys are dealing with is a crack in the foundation. This is nothing. You can get over this. She's like, but people wait until it is a crater to come in and try to fix it. But if you did the maintenance, you can avoid having a crater. And why do we feel like we have to wait until we're suicidal to go talk to someone, to get a different perspective and to work through things? Like, that is when you should. If you recognize you have a problem, there is no shame to work through it. And then the other thing on top of it is, you think you're okay and you think you're hiding it from people, right? But your friends already know. Like, everybody already know. And they're probably talking about, what's wrong with her? Why can't she get her life together? She seems unstable. And they may stop hanging out with you. And so you're not doing yourself a service or the people around you if you don't get the help that you need when you need it. And so, like, truly, like, this gets me excited, and I'm very passionate, and, like, just a little selfish in the other stuff that I'm working on is all about this faith. Like, it's okay to not be okay. It is okay. Because we are forced to believe that we're not so bad off. You'd be like, but I'm not happy though. Like, I'm not at 100%.
Right. And you can't succeed at the highest levels if you're not okay. And there's only so much pretending that'll get you through. But at some point, it's all going to fall apart if you don't take care of the cracks now. So if you see yourself with a little crack, get that fixed now. Don't let that fester and soar. And then now you really got some issues on top of, you know, now your boss or your senior leadership's taking that crack and they've made it into a whole big story about how you're not good enough and how you can't perform. And then it becomes this whole cycle of how you're not good enough. And then that feeds into all the shit you got going on that you need to fix inside. And it just becomes a big shitty mess that your whole life falls apart in order for you to fix it. Don't let it get there.
Yeah, don't become a big shitty mess.
Yes. You don't have to be. You're too good for that.
Yes, you're too good to become a big shitty mess. Theme of our conversation.
Yes. Do not become a big shitty mess. Just be a little selfish.
Yes, goes a long way. This is exciting me. Girl, I'm supposed to be doing some working a little bit for work and my bills being paid. You don't have me opening up this other laptop. I'm like, I am ready.
I love it. I can't not wait for what the next 12 months holds for you and your mission. I'm so proud of you. Even though you're just a little bit younger than me, I've kind of always seen you as, like, more mature. So I really appreciate it.
I am grown.
But even in Grand Rapids, when you were, you know, running Blend, I was like, look at this girl. You gotta work.
Thank you.
And so I know that
through whatever curveball challenges life may bring you, Arena, you are going to blow it out of the water, however you define blowing out of the water is. And it's going to be amazing, and I can't wait for the impact that you're going to have on the world.
Oh, I am so excited. Oh, that makes me feel very special, and I appreciate it. We're going on this journey together, see? I'm like, yes. We are in this. I'm excited to be on this podcast today and to see its growth and to know you over, what is that, like 12 years? Yeah, it's been a heck of a ride.
Because I met you in like 2007.
Oh my goodness, yeah. As we were on the exploration of business schools. And
we were on the chilling circuit.
Oh my goodness. And look where it brought us to today. We're figuring it out. No, we're going to change this together. I'm really excited. And if you have any rich friends or family that want to help with this vision, send them my way.
I definitely will. But hey, before we go, because I know, you know, you have to get back to making the, you know, every other week paycheck.
Pay the bill.
Right. Tell my listeners where they can reach you. Where can they find you if they want to know more about Just a Little Selfish? If they want to know more about your small business consulting, or if they just want to connect with you and ask you a question from this podcast, like how can my listeners connect with you?
Oh, I feel so special. Thank you. I'm definitely trying to build the community. So yes, please come. Just Little Selfish is an Instagram handle. So it is exactly that, at Just a Little Selfish. I do not have a blog because I don't want to write full blog post.
Amen.
Yes. So Instagram is definitely the best way to find me. And then from a business coaching standpoint, I do have my own website. So it is erainasargent.com. So erainasargent.com. Because I didn't think anyone was going to be able to guess how to spell my name. definitely my website and Instagram are the best places to find me. And then hopefully you'll be hearing about some more exciting news in the months to come. So I'm excited.
Yes, I'm excited. And we will definitely have you back on the show to talk about what's next. And so as always, you guys, if you need some help or advice about specific work situations, go to trillmba.com/coaching to schedule a free 30-minute consultation with me. We will strategize and talk about your specific sticky work situation. In addition, you can always email me at ask@trillmba.com. I'm happy to either answer your question or I'll connect you to the right person, like Arena, if I don't have the answer. So again, that's trillmba.com/coaching to schedule a free 30-minute consultation with me. Or you can always hit me up at ask@trillmba.com and submit your question or concern there. Arena, thank you so much for coming on the show, and I will be seeing you just flourish and glow up this year. Those are my expectations.
Okay. High expectations. I appreciate it. Thank you for having me on the show. Keep doing amazing things, and I will be listening and telling everybody about it.
Yes. And so until next time, you guys, keep it true. The Trill MBA Show is a Fair World Corp. LLC production. Executive produced by Felicia and Rose Anuha. Music is Kick Push by Ryan Little. Keep it trill every day, y'all.